Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to the February 22nd, 2015 edition of Dr. Number 14's Best SS Show. I am Dr. Number 14, and we have some shows to review, as well as we are still awaiting word whether Sleepy Hollow is going to be up or will get renewed for season three or not. All our other shows with the exception of Constantine, we sort of knew that, but Grimm, Gotham, Walking Dead, of course, Originals, Vampire Diaries, Flash, Arrow, The 100, Supernatural, all of those shows seem like, they are going to be renewed for another season. So without further ado, let us deal with Walking Dead, episode 5, 10, Them, and one of the reasons it dropped from an 8.0 rating to a 6.2 was they had SNL's 50th anniversary or 40th anniversary special, and a lot of people were watching that, as opposed to Walking Dead, at least live. But Dead, maybe more people. And it still had a respectable 12.3 million viewers. So for them, episode 510, let us review it, and basically let's play our theme song for The Walking Dead. Here we go. Okay, well, Maggie's having a hard time dealing with the loss of Beth, and she's with Daryl and Sasha, or Sasha at one point, and all of them hook up together, and they're on the road looking for food and water, especially water, and the zombies are behind them, and basically a pack of dogs at one point find the humans, and Sasha shoots them all. And they eat the dog meat, and Father Gabriel takes his collar off and puts it in the fire, so it looks like he's changing as well. And then someone leaves bottles of water on the road with a note from a friend, and Eugene starts to drink the water but is stopped from drinking it because we don't know who's following them exactly or who did it. And then it rains, and Daryl brings them to a barn to get out of the rain, but they are embracing the rain at one point. And Rick says that they have to tell themselves, we do what we need to do, and then we live. And then he says, we are the Walking Dead. And Daryl says, they're them, even though Rick says they're not necessarily them. And they lock themselves in a barn as the storm rages outside, and then a zombie horde congregates. And fortunately, they keep them out. And then the next day, when the storm subsides, Sasha and Maggie go outside. They find trees uprooted and the zombies are speared. And they watch the sun come up. And Sasha doesn't know if she can make it, but Maggie says they will. And then this clean man, I mean, perfectly attired, comes by, says his name is Aaron, says he's a friend, and he wants to talk to Rick because basically he has good news. which is very interesting. Okay, so that was The Walking Dead, and we have, I believe, 6 more episodes to air with it, so, you know, can hardly wait to see the rest of the episode. It was a little bit more slow-moving than some of the others, so, you know, but that's the way with The Walking Dead. It develops the character drama and so on. Okay, so Monday night's lineup of Gotham and Sleepy Hollow, and both of them picked up in the ratings. That's good news, especially for Sleepy Hollow. With Gotham, The Blind Fortune Teller, it went up from a 1.8 to a 2.1 with 6.16 million viewers. Okay, so on Gotham, Jim and Leslie Tompkins go to the circus. They see the Flying Graysons perform, but a fight ensues among the Graysons, John Grayson and Lloyd, and who's a clown, and Jim has to break it up. And Leslie treats the injuries and finds out the fight was over a snake dancer, Lila. So they hunt for Lila, and they see her son, Jerome, who hasn't seen the mom, and they let the snake out, and it leads them to the corpse of Lila. And so Jim is questioning the circus people. John Grayson and Lloyd are locked up in the meantime. And then a blind man comes into the station, Paul Cicero, a psychic, and he says Lila sent him a message from the other side, specifically the servant of the devil lies in the garden of the Iron Sisters. And then when Leslie and Jim are having dinner, Leslie figures it out. It's Arkham Bridge with the Iron Sisters there. And they find a bloody axe with the markings Hellfire Club directly under the bridge. So Jim believes Cicero planted the hatchet and he's protecting someone. So Jerome is caught in. And Jim says Jerome killed his mom and that Cicero helped him. And he believes Cicero is his father. And Cicero admits he is Jerome's father. And then Jerome starts laughing, saying he did it. He couldn't stand her nagging. And he laughs maniacally. This, I think, is the premise for the origin of the Joker. And we never find out, really, in the comic books why the Joker is the way he is. They talked a little bit about it in The Dark Knight Returns. Basically, I think Jerome is going to be the Joker. And so then Bruce, at the end, meets with the Wayne board, has questions about the operation, and he's going to be raising them at the next shareholders meeting. So a lot of other stuff happened, but I thought the Jerome's, the precursor to the Joker's plot was interesting, as well as Bruce taking a more active role in Wayne organization. Okay, what about Sleepy Hollow? Oh, wow. Wow. This is something else. Sleepy Hollow, episode 217, The Awakening. It went up from a 1.2 to a 1.4 with 4.45 million viewers. So let us play Sleepy Hollow theme song and then review it. Here we go. Okay, so on Sleepy Hollow, people are getting possessed by this tolling of the bell, and then they recover, and it's Henry's doing, and he's reading from the Grand Grimoire, and Ichabod checks out the bell because he recalls when he was on a mission to destroy the Liberty Bell, and he sort of created a crack in the bell, and bells were used to evoke spells back then, and the bell in Sleepy Hollow is linked with witchcraft, and they have to stop it from ringing again. Well, the main plot unfolds. Henry visits Katrina, not in the dream, but in the flesh, and he shows her the Grand Grimoire and wants to bring back his kind with an awakening ritual. And he needs Katrina, a pure witch, to do it, to ring the bell. And so she will be able to resurrect the witch's coven. He tried, it barely worked, so he needs her help. And she agrees to this. Meanwhile, Ichabod and Abby get items to blow up the bell, and they get ready to bring the bell into the tunnels to do that, but Irving is there with the gun to prevent this, and Jenny pursues him, and he shoots him 3 times without effect because he's a damned soul. And then Henry comes with Katrina, and she walls them up in the tunnel, and they take the bell to a location where Katrina's coven met. Fortunately, Ichabod and Abby get out. Ichabod calls out Henry. Abby is there as well with the gun drawn. And Ichabod shoots Henry, but Henry stops the bullet. And then Katrina blows up the Jeep with Abby inside. But fortunately, she's rigged the Jeep, and Abby is caught. She fortunately put explosives on the bell just before she's knocked down. And Irving follows Jenny into the lair, and she has the Gorgon head, and she's going to turn it on Irving. Meanwhile, Ichabod and Abby are tied to a pole, and the ritual starts, and the bell is starting to ring. The coven is awakened, but Abby is able to free herself, shoots Henry. He dies and disintegrates, and the evil goes out of Irving, and he collapses, and Jenny hugs him. Meanwhile, Katrina is pissed and wants Ichabod to die, so she casts a spell and disappears along with Abby. Interestingly, Abby awakens up in the woods. She's in the past along with Katrina, 1781, and Abby is put in a cell, and she wants to talk to Captain Ichabod Crane. So like Ichabod being transported to the future, Abby now is transported into the past. Wow. This was a pretty, pretty, pretty good episode. And they say that the finale of the season, which is on Monday night, is going to pave the way for season 3 of stories. And hopefully they will get their season 3 storyline. Okay, so this brings us up to the Tuesday lineup of Flash, Supernatural, Agent Carter, and Pretty Little Liars. Okay, for the Flash, episode 114, it maintained the ratings, the very respectable ratings of the week before, 1.5. Remember, it premiered with a 1.8. So we haven't lost too many people who are watching Flash from the pilot, which is really good. Okay, so basically on Flash Fallout, Barry and Caitlin survived the nuclear explosion, but there's no radiation, so they head back. And it looks like Ronnie and Professor Stein got separated, and they bring both back to Star Labs, and Stein is reunited with his wife, and Ronnie is there for more tests. And Barry talks to Dr. Stein, who is craving pizza, and they talk about time travel, Stein believes that time travel can occur into the past, and Barry tells him about his mom's murder and that he was there as an adult. And so Stein says he can move so fast, he can smash a hole through the space-time continuum. But unfortunately, he didn't save his mom. Meanwhile, Ronnie is being targeted by the military. They catch him, and Stein feels he's in trouble because he gets tranked with a tranquilizer dart. And General Wei E-Link introduces himself, but Flash gets there. The general subdues him with a weapon. But Caitlin is able to rescue Barry and Ronnie. And so both of them are still connected, Stein and Ronnie, and both need to stay at Star Labs. And Barry brings Caitlin and Ronnie to Joe's place. And Wells then visits Eiling, and Eiling wants both of them, Ronnie and Stein. So Wells drugs Stein's drink, and he gives him over to Eiling and says Firestorm is in Stein's head. Meanwhile, Stein feels cold in the chamber, and Ronnie feels it too, being tortured, and Ronnie feels the pain. So Ronnie cuts himself and spells out wear on his arm, and Stein's arm has the word, and so he communicates via Morse code. And he says he's an Army Base 27. So Ronnie goes there with Barry. Barry retrieves Stein, and he takes a chemical blast of Eiling's and has to run to burn off the liquid. And then Ronnie deduces he has to merge with Stein to defeat the general. And they do. And as Firestorm, they confront the general, who bombards him with an ion grenade, but Barry knocks the general out. Firestorm blasts away. They become separate again, but both are heading out to a colleague of Stein. And in the epilogue, killer epilogue, Reverse Flash takes the general to in the sewers. He reveals he's Harrison and that he's a metahuman, and then he brings him to Grodd. And basically, the general says, "Oh God," he says, "not God, Grodd," who takes the general away as he's screaming. Fitting end to General Eiling with Grodd. So the bad news is that Reverse Flash is now basically revealed as Harrison Wells. And when Flash comes back in a couple weeks, 3 weeks, 3-4 weeks, the jig is up. Secret is out. He is Reverse Flash. And everyone knows it. Caitlin, Cisco, and even Barry. Ooh. So what about Supernatural 10-14, the Executioner song? It was even with the previous week of 0.8 with 2.09 million viewers. So let's play our Supernatural theme song, and then let's review that. Here we go. Or at least we hope it goes. Trying to play it here. Supernatural, a person enters the prison. It's Kane. He appears in a cell to a serial killer, Tommy Oliver, and he stabs Tommy and takes him away. And the Winchesters investigate, and Dean identifies the man in prison, and his mark is sort of affecting his arm when he sees Kane. So they believe it's Kane. Cass goes to these grave sites, and all are due to Kane. He's doing a mass human genocide because now he has the taste of killing back, and it's a massacre, and he says he's going to get Dean in due time, but he's targeting people that have killed. And so Tommy Oliver is the first in that family. He's going after families of killers, and now he wants to go after the son, Austin. But Dean is going to track Kane down and get him. So he calls Crawley to get the blade, and basically Crawley is there, and he gives him the blade, and they use Austin as a bait to get Kane. And so Dean is scared, but Kane appears to Austin and is ready to kill him, and Cass can't stop him. But then Kane stabs Austin, but he's not real, and it was all a trick. They freed Austin. They got Austin safely out of the way. It was a spell. They keep him subdued in a circle, and then Dean confronts Kane. He enters the circle, but Kane keeps putting him down, and he says he's holding back. And Kane wants the knife, and he picks it up, and he says he's saving him from killing Sam, and he's ready to kill Dean. But Dean slices Kane's hand off as he gets the dagger back, and Kane says he's never going to stop. And so he daggers him in the back, basically Dean does. And then Dean gives the blade to Cass, and Sam hugs him. And basically Cass puts the blade someplace safe. And then, but Sam still thinks Dean is in trouble because while he didn't kill Kane, basically he's still being affected by the mark. Now, both Flash and Supernatural and Vampire Diaries and the originals, which we need to review, which we will, now that all these shows are going off. Supernatural is going to return on Wednesday night. It's going to occupy the 100th place when I believe that series ends shortly. So Supernatural is moving to Wednesday nights, and iZombie then is premiering on Tuesday nights after Flash. But we will still have a lot of our shows to review, but this week is going to be a more mild week, as about four or five shows won't be back on the CW till much later. Okay, this brings us to Agent Carter, which also is going to be ending this coming week, and then Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will be returning. Snafu, episode 107. It matched the previous week with Agent Carter with 4.15 million viewers, and Peggy is interrogated by the SSR agent, both Sousa, then Jack, and even Dooley gets to interrogate her. But then Edwin Jarvis appears at the SSR with a signed confession by Howard Stark, and that indicates he staged the robbery of the weapons himself, and he wants Peggy freed. And so Dooley is not going to release either of them until Stark walks in. And then Peggy has to leave the SSR for good because of her betrayal. But we find out that Stark did not write the confession, Jarvis did. And then Chenkov, Professor Chenkov, communicates with Dottie across the street. And Peggy is able to read the Morse code. And something's going to happen in 19 minutes. Leviathan is coming. So Peggy tells Dooley that Stark's confession is a fake. So she comes clean, tells them about Chenkov and Leviathan's coming. She also opens the device that she had. It's a sample of Steve Rogers' blood. Sousa believes her, and Jack believes her too. And so now they need to convince Dooley. And Dooley is tracking Dottie, but he falls under Chenkov's influence. And Dooley holds a gun on Carter and locks her and Jarvis in a room and breaks the key in the lock. Meanwhile, Sousa is tracking Dottie, and he stops her, but she gets away. And Chenkov, meanwhile, is looking for item 17. Dooley finds it for him, and Dooley wants to keep the item but gives it to Chenkov, and Chenkov leaves and is picked up by Dottie, and they need to test item 17. Meanwhile, Peggy and Jarvis smash the mirror, but they still find themselves hooked to a table. And Jack sees them, frees them, and then Dooley envisions he's going home and kissing his wife. And then he awakens and he has one of Howard Stark's weapons on him, a vest. It's a prototype for a new system of armor. Maybe the precursor to Iron Man. Anyway, it overheats and Dooley is burning up. And he tells Peggy to get the bastard who did this and throws himself out of the window and explodes. Meanwhile, Dottie is at a picture show with a baby carriage. She activates a cylinder in the movie house and leaves, and the people start coughing, and they start fighting each other, and they eventually kill themselves. Wow. So a lot of stuff is happening on Marvel's Agent Carter, so we can't wait to see the ending of that. Okay, with Pretty Little Liars, it picked up a little bit. I believe it was a 0.8 or a 0.7 the week before. It went up to a 0.9 with 2.05 million viewers. So Pretty Isn't the Point, episode 520, where Hannah is enrolled in a Miss Teen Beauty pageant to win a $20,000 scholarship. And she's working with a sponsor, but she eventually tells Hannah that she's not pageant material, even though Emily is training her to dance and stuff like that. Meanwhile, Mike yells at Aria after finding out she was in his room, where they find a necklace. Basically, it looks like it's a necklace from Mona. And then Emily meets Eric, Talia's husband, at the place that she's working, and he knows what's going on between them, but he doesn't mind. And then Johnny breaks into a gallery to take down his painting. Apparently, the graffiti that she did was cut up and a person sold it to a gallery. So he activates an alarm. And so he and Spencer take off with the paintings, but Toby comes by in a police car and takes Johnny into custody. Meanwhile, Aria finds a blood sample that Mike hid in a tree. She was tracking him down. And Mike comes there, and it's Mona's blood that he tells her. This is weird. And then she accidentally breaks the vial and she takes off. And then finally, Spencer's mom is able to get Johnny out of jail and then it tells him to leave. And so Johnny kisses Spencer as he leaves town. Meanwhile, Mike tells Aria he did not kill Mona. Rather, Mona told him she was going to spill blood all over her house to frame Allison. And he has a container of her blood. And she promised she would come back, even though I believe she's dead. So the plot thickens on Pretty Little Liars. They haven't figured it out much at all. But it's there. And let's say it's there. So now let's deal with Arrow and the 100. Okay. Arrow, episode 314, The Return. It picked up in the ratings again from a 1.1 to a 1.2 with 2.91 million viewers. So let's play our Arrow theme song and then let's review it. And here we go. Okay, so Oliver is training with Thea on Lin Yu, the island. And then Oliver checks the Supermax and he finds prison and finds that Slade is out and races to Thea and says they're in danger. Malcolm has let Slade out. He calls them up and says he needs to regain that killer instinct by releasing Slade. And Oliver gives Thea a gun, but Slade knocks both of them out. And we find that Oliver and Thea are put in a cell. And Slade is going to leave them in purgatory, get their plane, and escape. But Oliver is able to break Thea's arm so she can reach the door access control, activates it, and the cell door opens, and they need to get to the plane before Slade does. And basically, Oliver indicates, as they're tracking Slade down, that Malcolm used someone to kill Sarah, and he admits that that Thea did it, that she killed Sarah, and she is so distraught. And then Slade holds her at gunpoint, but she gets away, and Oliver tangles with them, and then Thea is able to draw a gun on Slade, and she shoots. And Slade is just wounded, and Slade is put back in the cell. Interestingly, while this is going on, they have another storyline where basically they're trying to track down China White from selling the Omega weapon in, of all places, Starling City. And Oliver and Maceo are there, and he's able to see Tommy and Laurel and people like that from his past, but he keeps himself hidden. In fact, he has to kill basically someone who is able to identify him, basically Thea's drug dealer. Okay, and then he meets up after they prevent the auction and they do get the Omega weapon back. He meets up with Shenro Shreve, who's going to debrief Oliver back in China, and then he can go anywhere, supposedly. So, all right, the end of the episode is Oliver and Thea return. Thea is mad at Malcolm for having her kill Sarah, and she says she will be his soldier to defeat Ra's al Ghul, but she will never again be his daughter. Wow. Okay, so this now brings us to the 100, episode 213, Resurrection. It was 0.5 even with the previous week with 1.42 million viewers. So Clark sees the camp destroyed in the missile attack, and she wants the mountain men dead. But there's a shooter there making sure everyone is dead. And so while this is going on, the kids take a level at Mount Weather, but the mountain men break through the doors and use flares, but the kids pretend to be dead, and then they attack the mountain men and force them out. And Jasper even slays one with an axe, but one of the girls is taken. Meanwhile, Abby goes down and finds Cain buried underground from the missile attack, and she tries to get the rubble off of him, but she can't. And so Lexa with Clark are going to be going to the mountain. They find Lincoln there. They have to stop the sniper. And basically, they do spot the sniper. Lincoln attacks him. Clark shoots through Lincoln to take out the sniper, which she does. And meanwhile, Octavia keeps on digging to retrieve Abby and Cain, and they are able to get Abby and Cain out. And then the ARC people come to assist the survivors of the camp, and basically they are able to retrieve Cain and Abby. And Lincoln is reunited with Octavia, and Lexa says, the mountain is going to fall, and Clark, as I said, leaves with Lexa, and Octavia and Lincoln go as well. So it looks like this is just one long, drawn-out thing, but it has plenty of action. It's not the same as the first season, I don't think, of the 100, but it's still good. So this now brings us to Vampire Diaries, episode 615, Let Her Go. And it matched its series low of 0.7. with 1.41 million viewers. So let's do Vampire Diaries and then our Friday lineup of shows to end our reviews. So here's the theme music for the Vampire Diaries. Well, most of it has to do with the funeral for Liz being planned by Caroline. And basically, Damon couldn't give a speech at his mom's funeral, but starts writing one now for Caroline. And the funeral commences. The officers pay tribute to Liz, and then Damon gives the eulogy, and he indicates that Liz was so proud of Caroline, and Liz was a hero to all of them, and she's going to be missed, and Caroline sings a beautiful song. And then Matt wants to be an officer and gets an application for himself in Thailand. Meanwhile, Kai visits Joe, and Joe and Kai are both sick because the merge was with Luke, not with her, so Kai and Joe need to be fixed. Kai touches Joe at one point, and he gets some of her magic back and feels better. So Joe does a spell on Kai basically gives Kai all of her magic, and he's okay now. And then he tells her that the reason she's sick is she's pregnant. And so Rick wants to marry her. He basically said he loves her, had an engagement ring, and she says yes to that. Meanwhile, Bonnie is still in the other realm, and she has her magic back, and she plans to go home. But then Bonnie travels to the snowy world and founds a house by the Aurora Borealis. It's 1903, and she sees photos of the Salvators there, Damon and Stefan. And then Bonnie is able to transport herself back to the forest. She goes to the cave and sees a female out of time before she gets zapped away. And basically, she is able to get back to our world. Yay. She appears to Damon. They hug. And she shows Damon the video of the woman because she was filming it, apparently, before she got zapped away. And Damon recognizes her as her mom. Meanwhile, Stefan tells Damon he thinks he loves Caroline, and Damon tells him to go to her. But Caroline is falling apart, breaks Elena's neck. But remember, she's a vampire, so she's not dead. And she's going a bit crazy. And Stefan goes over to Caroline and finds Elena on the floor. Ooh, ooh, more stuff going on there. Okay, so now let's review, and we're going to play catch-up with the originals next week and stuff like that. But we did play catch up with the 12 Monkeys, and we're right on par with Helix. So the 12 Monkeys, which was really good, the last two episodes had been very good. Episode 105, The Night Room, still not doing very well in the ratings, a 0.23 with 660,000 viewers. What happens is Jennifer Goines has been abducted, and she's taken to the night room where the virus is contained. So she knows where it is back in 2011. And now in 2015, the man with the scar wants to know where the night room is from Jennifer, and he breaks her. So basically, Cassie and Cole are able to find the night room in 2015. They explore the inside, and they're held at gunpoint and imprisoned in their quarters along with this doctor. And the men want the virus, which is the precursor of the one that wiped out everything in the vault. And the man with the scar is there with his men. And the doctor that's in prison with them says they can use a big burn to torch everything, but there's two controls. One is in the vault, and one is where they're at. And then the scientist is taken to the vault and needs to open it, and he refuses and is shot. So they try to break their way in. Meanwhile, Cole and Cassie are restrained, and then the man with the scar starts removing Cole's fingernails and to prevent them. What happens is Cole and Cassie are basically restrained, and then Jenny is escorted downstairs to the vault. And basically, the man with the scar said Cole killed Jennifer's father, but she just laughs it off. She doesn't mind, and Cole wants forgiveness for what he did, and he needs to fix the future. So Jennifer is brought back to Cole. She thinks it's awesome he killed her dad. She has all the codes, so she unlocks the door, and she's ready to punch the failsafe, and she does. And then Cole is ready to do the big burn with Cassie, and does. And the entire lab goes up in flames, and Cole and Jennifer go in the vault for protection. And they do, but then Cassie is taken by the men, the 12 monkeys, the army of the 12 monkeys, and Cole splinters. And he returns to 2043, and he finds the entire world has changed there. And so in the follow-up episode of basically episode 106, The Red Forest, Cole finds an alternate reality there. Cole is taken to see Dr. Jones, but Jones doesn't recognize Cole. And Jones says his molecules are in a state of flux. So Jones finds that Dr. Rayleigh has been murdered in 2015. So that's the point of divergence. They have to get Cassie away from the army of the 12 monkeys. Otherwise, this alternate reality will occur where now Ramsey is the head of West 7, and everything is going to pot there. So Jones is shot by a follower of hers, but she does activate the machine, and so she splinters Cole. Cole contacts Cassie's boyfriend, says Cassie and himself are in the night room, and they need to get there before they escape. And so they wait outside. Cassie comes out. The boyfriend shoots Cole by mistake. A gunfire ensues, and Cassie is taken, and now Cole is wounded too. But Cole is able to get the license plate. And so basically they go to this warehouse where Cassie is. And meanwhile, this female drugs her, and Cassie sees herself walking in a red forest. The grass is tall. There's a house there, and there's a man in a mask, basically one of those masks to protect himself from the virus, and apparently he's the witness. So Cole arrives to get Cassie out, but Cole is getting worse with the two timelines converging in his head. Cassie runs off. Cole rejoins her, shoots the man with the scar. He splinters, and the boyfriend sees it, but the boyfriend is able to rescue Cassie. The timeline is corrected, and Cassie keeps thinking of her vision. And Cole recovers in 2043, says the other Jones indicated an Operation Troy. So the 12 monkeys use that virus now that the one in the night room was destroyed. But Jones says eventually the jumps are going to kill Cole. Whew. Okay. Finally, what about Helix? Well, it's just as complex as the 12 monkeys. Episode 206, M. Domestica, where Ilaria is developing Narvik 6, and Dr. Julia Walker, who's having sex with Sergio, thought a non-lethal alternative was being developed, and they are planning a human genocide, a cleansing of the earth so that only the immortals are left and only a few of the mortals. And Julia is the only one who's opposed to it. So We go back to the Abbey where Michael pretends he's affected by the death of Agnes, and then he meets up with her daughter Anne, who reminds him they will prevail. And a funeral is conducted, a service, but then basically the granddaughter of Agnes, Annie, has this man put the virus, the honey-infected virus, on some of the berries that Agnes developed. So there's a mass now infection through the Abbey. At least 30 are infected. And Julia is going to contact the CDC. And Kyle tells Sarah there's 30 victims, and Ellen is free to help out. And Anne tells them they were at the memorial service, and Ellen's going to check out the berries. And Sarah identifies the fungus on some of the berries. Half the berries were spiked with infected honey, so it was deliberate. Peter, meanwhile, tells Michael about Sarah's baby, that it's immortal, and Michael wants Sarah to come to his office. Meanwhile, Michael confronts Amy and has her locker search and finds the infected honey in her mom's coat, Annie's mom's coat. And Anne protests as she's taken away, so Amy set up her mom. And then with Julia being opposed to Ilaria, she meets up with an immortal girl who gives her a locket. And Julia might be able to prevent the Ilaria's plan. And that locket has an image of a tree on it, the same tree that's found in one of the Abbey's etchings, interestingly. So Olivia gets all of her people out of quarantine who are infected, and Alan is drugged. So Alan shows up, and he starts then strangling Sarah. It's just a free-for-all, this show, on Helix. Anyway, we are through. We will be reviewing our program next Sunday. And so next time, sleep tight, and we will be back. So says Dr. Number 14. Sleep tight, folks. Bye.